Hi, everybody. I'm Chuck Woolery. For this special Christmas episode of Blunt Force Truth, I wanted to share with you the real story of Christmas.
From the book of Luke 1, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you." Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You've found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
This fulfills the prophecy of the Old Testament given to David by God in 2 Samuel 7:11, in that David's kingdom would be everlasting.
"Well, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come to you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month."
Elizabeth's son would become John the Baptist. He was born to prepare the way for Jesus. He would eventually baptize Christ to signify his birth, his death, and his resurrection.
So back to the scripture. "For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "and may your word to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. Now we move on to Matthew, and this is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not expose her, he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly.
Marrying a woman with a child was not looked upon kindly in the eyes of Judaism.
But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit."
This was to ensure that Joseph and Mary was not with a child from a man, but with a child born from the Holy Ghost.
"And she's going to give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he didn't consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, and this was the first census that took place. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes, placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Bethlehem was a small town, and being that many people were there to pay their taxes, and the fact that Mary and Joseph were, by all standards, poor, all that could be found was the kindness of a man who allowed them to stay in what basically was a small barn structure.
And there were shepherds living out on the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in a manger. So when the shepherds had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. Now on the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord.
According to the laws of Moses, the days of purification was a period of time a woman was seen as being ceremonially unclean, and the same was true for when a woman was menstruating.
So as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons.
The sacrifice was to atone for a woman's uncleanliness after childbirth. Usually a lamb was sacrificed. However, because Mary and Joseph were poor, well, sacrificing two doves or two pigeons was allowed.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required.
At this point, Jesus was approximately 40 days old and was brought to the temple for circumcision according to the law of God, Leviticus 12, 2 and 3.
Simon took him in his arms and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him, and then Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east, we call them the three kings, and there may have been more, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him."
You know, we don't know much about the wise men, but they were most likely educated political figures from Persia that had heard about the birth of a king.
So when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem and in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
Herod was very worried that Jesus was going to be an earthly king and would cause the Jews to rebel and rise up against the Roman Empire.
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that many can go to worship him." Of course, he was not interested in worshiping Jesus at all. He was interested in killing him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed, and on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshiped him, and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And these things were not only precious, they were worth a lot of money, and they were indeed treasures.
At this point, Jesus was approximately a year old.
And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him."
Because Herod thought that Jesus was an earthly king, he set out to literally destroy the competition.
So he got up, he looked, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." And when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and in his vicinity who were 2 years old and under. And in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi,
this was meant to reflect the parallels between Moses and Christ. When Moses was born, the Pharaoh ordered all male Hebrew babies killed, and only Moses survived in Egypt.
Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." Well, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead."
Again, like Moses, Jesus is called by God to return to Israel.
So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and they went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he was called a Nazarene. You know, folks, the Christmas story is not about gifts or gatherings and glee, but one of faith, hope, and redemption. Christ was born so that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. We no longer have to sacrifice animals to atone for our sins. That was the reason God sent his only begotten Son, so that we would not perish. He was the Lamb of God. Jesus was our ultimate sacrifice. At the time of his death, he was burdened with the world's sins, both present and future. And because of Christ's sacrifice, he has impacted the world like no other religious figure. His life has not only been documented in Scripture, but in the annals of history by man as well. His brief life not only impacted those around him, he changed the entire world with his message. Imagine, if you will, being one of the 12 apostles and having the opportunity to know, touch, and experience the Son of God. Even after experiencing Christ and his miracles, the apostles still had doubts about Christ. They even went as far as denying that they even knew him. Well, unlike his apostles, Jesus still had faith in them. And after his death, burial, and resurrection, they still remained skeptical. Then the day came when Jesus revealed himself to them in his resurrected glory. Now, finally, they knew that he was indeed the Son of God. You know, unfortunately, we have not had the opportunity to know Jesus as the apostles did. We can't touch him, we can't see him or witness his resurrection. He's not physically tangible to us. So our salvation is faith-based, and God said he would bless that because we really can't touch, see, or feel. We just do it on faith alone. And this faith in God gives us all the only Christmas gift that really matters, knowing that we will not perish, but we will have everlasting life and bask in the light of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Merry Christmas, everyone, and God bless you.